It's acceptable to call me a nigger.
It's acceptable to call me a spick.
To call me a chink.
To call me a fag.
It's acceptable to call me a kike.
It's acceptable to call me a retard or call yourself or your friends retarded when they do something foolish.
The R word is the same as every minority slur. Treat it that way and use it.
Spread the word. Spread the word.
The nigger, spits, and gooks need to be sent back to wherever the hell they come from. And them faggots and retards, why, we should be just grateful to live in a home or a shelter among our own kind so we don't spread to normal people.
So spread the word to spread the word. This is a public service announcement by the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Area Nations of Missouri. Hail victory!
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is the M.M. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a pop named Visser, a Duke Mississippi little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion right. A mum that nigger with East Molester, a pisser, pooker, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruited nut of Zog Plain in the open air coast to coast nut house we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 127.5 of the Movement Turd. Tonight is the 21st of June, 2012. It is the supposedly longest day of the year, and it is starting to work on getting dark here about 8:33 Granby Uncentral Standard Time. I imagine up in Canada, you know, Kanukistan or Canadistan. It's still probably light depending on where you're at. And in any case here, folks, tonight's episode is going to be called The Infiltrating Non-Whites Among Us. Now, over the last couple of days, I've had a big fight with the, shit-skinned Mamzer faggot called Engilded, a.k.a. Stephen Brower. And there's another kikist named, she called herself Streetwalker Barbie, but she was from Queens or something like that, and hell, I don't see why people couldn't figure out that she was just a kikist. She talked like a kikist, acted like a kikist, had all the lust of a kikist. But anyway, let me go ahead and go on to my monologue. Anyone who has attended any white supremacist or separatist or white nationalist function has seen this time and time again.
obvious non-whites who show up show every sign of agreement with the proposed agenda or goals, while Whiggers pointedly ignore the visible evidence that puts a lie to everything said at that function or group. Folks, if you believe in white supremacy, why do you have a Jew or a nigger or something among you? Now, it's not like a Reform or Libertoon Party where, it's basically Reform Party or used to be Reform Party or Constitution, U.S. Taxpayers Party, whatever. We end up having a bunch of Whiggers, and they're not, quote, obvious white supremacists or white nationalists or whatever. They want to go ahead and say, well, we love everybody here, so yes, they will have a few token niggers among them. Now, I remember, this was back in the 1990s, attending a League of the South meeting in the late 90s, and hearing Dr. Michael Hill talking about what an extremist organization the League of the South would be, how they would form their own political party and carry out a policy of secession from Zog. After the meeting, I went up to Dr. Hill and suggested that rather than trying to form a new political party by collecting 10,000 petition signatures necessary to do so, at least in Missouri, which would mean you have to collect really about 15,000 signatures at about $1 a signature, I went ahead and suggested that rather, I was at war with the Libertine Party at the time in Missouri, I suggested that what he do is he just simply take over the existing Missouri Libertine Party with around 30 activists in the rural areas, scattered out, small town areas, and essentially take over the Libertine Party by means of county committees. Essentially, they wouldn't go ahead and win in the city of St. Louis or Kansas City proper, but then again, you wouldn't Libertines wouldn't be there either, because essentially they're just wiggers who pretend to love niggers. Essentially, the Libertines, the fatal Libertines, would go ahead and control about 5 or 6 county seats, county committees. But what happens by going ahead and taking over, you could go ahead and have about 30 League of the Southers go ahead and take over the entire Libertine Party. Well, as I was talking to Dr. Hill, he wasn't interested in doing that. All this crap about, setting up his own political party, sort of like Alex Linder and Trader Glenn Miller would do, about, I think it was 1999, about 6 or 7 years later, talk about doing, was just bullshit. He had no intention whatsoever of setting up an actual political party. Anything he said was really just nothing more than just yapping boo bait for the Bubbas to go ahead and get the Tards to, I guess, kick in money to Dr. Hill. Now, anyway, there were about 40 or 50 of us. I'd gone up there with a white guy from Noel. We'd driven in his van up there in 1999. This was before gas. The gas was about $1.95 a gallon. But, essentially, he was going up there. I was trying to recruit him for the Libertine Party. And, he went up there and took me along. I went ahead and paid $20 at the at the gate here, and he'd already gone ahead. He was an officer of the League of the South. And what we've seen an old Whigger and about 4 or 5 little niggers seated in the row of folding chairs, and it was like a bubble around this here nigger. Well, the Whigger and its nigglets, this old Whigger and its nigglets. Essentially, people were looking at that here, and they weren't saying a single thing, including this officer of the League of the South. They were just looking. That's all they were doing. They were just looking. And what they would do is that they would not sit within, 2 or 3 seats of these critters. They were sitting in the middle of the row, and it was like a little bubble was around this old guy here and his niggers. Anyway, sort of like when I was in the Army here, and this nigger named Washington would get hot and start to stink, and essentially he'd get rancid and there'd be a bubble in formation here. It's sort of weird looking, formation is supposed to have it in a nice tidy square, You know, 9 in the front, 6 to the rear, that's the way we do it here. I mean, in inches, you know, I mean, essentially, you know, men in formation marching or running in formation. And there was a bubble around this nigger named Washington. You know, he was from Washington, D.C. And essentially, it was because he was a rancid nigger. Well, after a talk with Dr. Hill, I'd gone ahead and hung around and, you know, told him about the party. I went to this old wigger and asked what was going on with bringing the niggas to a, quote, white separatist or white nationalist convention. I was, of course, the only white there who not only thought that this was fucked up, but was actually willing to raise a stink over it now that the show was over. The other guy who had taken me up there in the van agreed that, yes, it was inappropriate to bring niggers to a League of the South meeting, but since he was an officer in the League of the South, it wasn't his place to say anything about it. Well, yeah, right, whatever. So, anyway, I went up to the old wigger and asked, you know, what the, you know, asked, I mean, you know, what's, you know, I mean, why did you bring these creatures to a League of the South meeting? You know, aren't you uncomfortable doing that? And what happens is that the old wigger explained that these nigglets were his grandchildren. This daughter had had an errant twat, and she'd attracted these sundry moon crickets, and she had spawned four little nigglets spaced out roughly a year apiece by four or five different nigger life support units for a nigger cock. I forget, it was four nigglets. I don't think it was five. It was four nigglets, you know, ranging from 12 to about, oh, six or so. And did the old wigger nigglet keeper had always admired the League of the South and white separatist principles and blah, 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 as the four little Trayvon Obongos in the making looked to me like four little possums promised a persimmon treat. They were well-behaved little niggles. I'll grant them that here. So what to say about that? Well, ever quick to think on my feet, at the time all I could say was, huh. You know, that's all I could think of saying is, huh. I just walked away. I wasn't yet the poly-sociopathic, racist, bigot, maniac that I am today, and so I didn't say exactly what was on my mind. Like, that is so fucking fucked up. That's probably what I've said today here. You brought these niggers to a white supremacist meeting? I mean, you know, I told my stepdaughter, you know, after she was screwing around on her first husband, and before she got to her second one, is that, look, Emily, I know you're a whore, I know you're a slut, but I'm not going to have any niggers call me Papa. I'm not going to have any beaners call me Papa. You go ahead and you spread for a non-white and squeeze out a non-white. You just hit the fucking road and you give the nigger away. Just hit the road. Anyway, me and Roxy raised the oldest two, you know, Helen and Bub. You know, we love them a great deal. And essentially, that allowed Emily to go ahead and look for her husband number two, and she squeezed out two more healthy, beautiful white kids. But anyway, folks, you had these characters coming in, and you had this in 1999. Well, let's go ahead and look at today. In all my political activities, I've noticed quite a few token niggers working in the crowds of political senile wigger ass clowns over the years. Now, wiggers don't really want to keep standards. Oh, boy. Damn. All right, well, it looks like my computer died on me. Liz, you got the best of me. Piss or possum? In any case, what to do? I'm just going to go ahead and let it be. Let the chat go ahead and get away from me, I guess. In real life, what you would go ahead and you'd have someone like Jeremy Visser pretend to be white. Essentially, he'd just disappear and that'd be the end of that shit. Okay? But getting on with it, I've noticed quite a bit over the years that, well, just like that time, nobody went ahead and even asked what the hell's going on. The League of the South officer didn't even ask what the hell was going on. But what I've seen over the years, among especially the minor, you know, the minor things, is that Uyghurs will go ahead and pretend to love niggers, and essentially will have a token nigger who will go ahead, essentially, and tell all the Uyghurs everything they want to hear, everything they want to go ahead and do, and what to do about it. The answer is nothing. But anyway, it goes ahead and tells me is that we have essentially a Uyghur problem, and that even so-called racist entities don't want to go ahead and confront. The fact is that most of the time they don't have real white people in there. They don't have any white people. They don't want to go ahead and have any real white people there. Anyway, okay. All right. Well, Liz says a pisser possum or a nimtard here, and I made the mistake. I did make the mistake, essentially, of erring on the side of free speech. In real life, you have something like that here. You go ahead and just brand. You just go ahead and brand. Just go ahead and brand and then skin. Brand and skin. Essentially, critters like that wouldn't dare show up any more than they would dare show up at white supremacist meetings. But anyway, within white nationalism and within above-ground Christian identity, wherein there's supposed to be overt racism and hatred for Jews, you find that most of these critters are not even white or heterosexual. The past few days, I've been fighting with, you know, the misbegotten clowns over on the Queer Barrel, the Manser Barrel, who are all huffy over my pointing out that almost all the membership and leadership are mongrel abominations known as Mamsers, you know, i.e. misogynistic bastards, faggots, stewboys, morons, and or zogbots. Now, I don't really worry about that. And there is no reason why I should. And the reason I do not worry about it is because, well, essentially, I'm not out to create anything. I'm out to go ahead and tell you that within white nationalism, within pretend white nationalism, is that there is no solution other than the Great Tribulation. And the best way to go ahead and deal with Uyghurs who allow this sort of shit to happen is to have just simply let nature take its course. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to go ahead and certainly rage against the machine. You don't have to go ahead and get into trouble. All you have to do is just simply understand that the time has come for you to save yourself. Save yourself. Save your family. Don't run around worrying about what is going to happen. Now, I end up fighting here with Engilded, a.k.a. Steve Brower, and this kikus called Street Walking Barbie, who I call nigger-humping kikus from Queens. And essentially, she's a little bit better behaved because, well, she's understood that now people understand who or what this critter is. And therefore, well, she's got to go ahead and somehow prove that she isn't what she is when she is what she is. And I was a little bit worried. I was going to go ahead and get banned on Stumble, and you end up having, this one character, old Kentucky Chomo Malunja, a.k.a. Shitty Bob, come over. And I don't know, I was tempted to just simply say, hey, look, dumbass, I know who Engelded is. I know who the so-called new owner, Apocalypse, is. Another National Alliance retard who's, well, from what I gather, its mother's father was a crowd of some sort, a Mormon, and its mother was a hybrid nigger, but somewhere there was a full-blooded beaner, Mamser, which means you end up having a nigger, probably Jew, in there as well. So essentially, what happens, the reason Apocalypse is claiming to be a Mormon is because he wants to claim that he is essentially a white man, just a Lamanite who essentially got the bad luck to be cursed with a dark skin because they were bad after a while here. Sort of like the Eli James view of Christian identity. And I don't think this drunken mamzer has taken a single sober breath in the last couple months. And you know, here you are, you're on a Skype call, and about Beer Barrel and Jet and John and all this, and essentially I'm dealing with mamzers. And the answer is, no, I don't. No, I don't. Folks, there's nothing to worry about because essentially Yahweh will take care of it. He will take care of it through the Great Tribulation. What we have is that we have a Uyghur problem, but the Uyghur problem is going away because the Uyghurs are dying. The Uyghurs are dying out, which shouldn't bother Uyghurs because they want to die. No, folks, let's just go ahead and understand that as time goes by and things get more and more and more bad, that we are to go ahead and separate ourselves and to go ahead and look after ourselves, but do not worry about fighting what is going to happen, what is inevitable. Rather, what we do is we worry about ourselves. We worry about our families, the ones that are worth taking with us. We go ahead, essentially, and become the shepherds and the pastors of our own lives. We take care of ourselves. That's what we do. That's what we do. So in any case here, I'll go ahead and talk about a few other things. From what I gather, the stock market wasn't going very well, and from what I gather, Moody's went ahead and downgraded these too big to regulate banks, gave their bonds and stocks just a little bit better rating outside of junk status. Essentially, the shareholders and the bondholders are going to go ahead and be holding the bag. There's not going to be any more loans to shitty operators. Essentially, there's going to be more and more and more economic collapse. So what to do? Well, folks, like I said, it's time to hunker down. It's time to go ahead and look to yourself. It's time to go ahead and take care of yourself. And the best, you can't hunker down when you're yoked with mamzers, when you're dealing with mamzers and Jews and retards and all the rest here. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. I'll go ahead and regain control of my chat room. And then I guess the next guest we will have is Russ Walker. So, folks, I'll be here in just a little bit. Hail victory, folks.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crap. I wake up and right away, if the Uyghurs come to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crap.
Dodgers team remembering how good dog used to be. Being caught long stone, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Feel the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Okay, we're back. Well, I got control of my chat room. I went ahead, and I don't think it's really a Pisser Possum. I think it's Nimbuster Tard, who's been listening to Pisser Possums, Liz Linstead. Now, Jeremy Visser, I mean, is a pathetic quitter who, I guess, came up with a Liz Linstead based upon, lies by old Victor Switzer, another Mamser Tard who, he came up with this crap about how my mother's maiden name is Samuelson, she was a Jew, and all this sort of stupid crap. And according to Jeremy Visser, I have a mud shark sister who squeezed out Niglet's name, Liz. And the answer is no, that's not true at all. But, I do have a sister, not one named Liz Linstead. But you've had some Pisser Possums who are, or Nimbuster Tards, have been taken up. But essentially, the quitter went ahead and trolled the crap out of the chat room, while Toshiba number one went ahead and died. I had to go in and reboot it. So rather than bother to take control of the chat room again, what I did was just simply finish the segment. Now I'm ready for Russ Walker to go ahead and give a call in when he gets around to it. And I was so hoping for Russ Walker to tell me what he thinks. And folks, it looks like we're going to have some Nimbuster trolling here. You see, folks, thanks to John Doe and a few other people, Joe Bro, whatever, pretty well what TalkShoe has done is it's limited the ability to go ahead and enter unless you are, in the time that you are waiting to be logged in. Now, you can go ahead and get around that like Finkelschini does by essentially locking down the chat altogether. But instead of actual script kiddying, these quitters are having to be resigned to essentially brute force attack here. Essentially a bunch of niggers who, their little fishing expedition worked for a little while and don't work no more. Okay? So anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and, I was hoping Russ would go ahead and call in. I was trying to go ahead and make some time for him. I know it's close to 10 o'clock, and usually he's not up. Is this usually the time he goes to bed? If Russ wants to go ahead and go to bed, that's fine with me here. This was way back on Passover this March. And essentially, he had a Melungeon, a.k.a. Rumby Indian, there at this Christian Identity thing. And, of course, the Mamser, this Melungeon, was making itself obnoxious and insisted that it have its way. And Russ said, well, no more than that, I'm not going to go ahead and have it. Now, last night here, I mean, once you go ahead and once you name the Mamzer. You know, you already know what it is. Once you know who it is, generally they behave a lot better because now they're caught. The thing about internet anonymity is cowardice. Allows these critters to go ahead and be cowardly. Allows them to go ahead and do whatever the heck they want to without recompense. Now, the bad part about it is, or the good part about it is that the rest of the Mamzers can't claim to be, quote, innocent. It's like all these little Jews who will go ahead and say, "Oy vey, I'm not responsible for what the Rothschilds did. I'm not responsible for what the Rockefellers did. I'm not responsible for what the Schiffs and the Warburgs and the Trotskys and the Lenins and the Shamirs and the rest of the big Jews did. I'm just a little Jew. I don't have any power over any of that." And I'll be honest with you, there have been a few little Jews who have decided to take the fact that they don't know how to behave, and they have gone ahead and outed the rest of the Jews. One of the little Jews in my life. Cain, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6. He went ahead and did most of the heavy lifting of finding out who Intrepid was, a.k.a. Engelded. He went ahead and when Engelded was, "Oh, goody, I get to have my own little farm where I can go ahead and screw people here. I can go ahead and shit on them." He went ahead and registered the beer barrel .net or com in his own name with his own address. And guess what? Engelded went ahead, or Cain went ahead and said, "Okay, Stephen Brower. Yeah, I know who you are. Tell me who the rest of your friends are, rest of your Mamzers are." And old Intrepid went ahead and rolled on every single one of them. And at the very end, Cain went ahead and betrayed old Stephen Brower. The other night, we're on chat room with old Street Walking Barbie, a.k.a. Nigger Humping Yenta from Queens. And essentially, one of the tards goes ahead and says, you know, calls her Hannah. And then she sees Intrepid here, says, "Don't effing say my name." And Engelded goes ahead and calls her Hannah anyway. Now, Hannah is, in many cases, a Jewish name. Not always. But in many cases, it is. So here they went. Here they went. And Intrepid goes ahead and outed its, quote, best friend running around with it over on Stumble Inn. Went ahead and outed its best friend here as a kikis with the name of Hannah. Folks, that's how vicious these characters are. So here comes this guy named Thomas Angel. He used to be on a different V-Bulletin forum here. Now he's over at Stumbling. And I go ahead and point out to him is that Engelda's talking nice to you to your face. Why don't you go ahead and see what he wrote on the name of this character called L-I-M-N. I went ahead and seen that here's Engelded essentially tell L-I-M-N, "Oh, look at that, Thomas Angel, he's a child molester too. Look at it, look at it." And then, essentially, well, I go ahead and tell Thomas Angel where to go ahead and look at it here. Barbie Claws. No, she's more like Hannah, Hannah can't get an Aryan hump here. Folks, I've noticed in my time on be it Stumbling or be it Beer Barrel or be it whatever, you will end up having a bunch of not quite white females or actual niggers like this Chloe Blossoms, or as I call her, nigger tits. She is getting on the internet to find some Aryan input. Now, her buddies might be someone like Stephen Brower in Gelded, who essentially is a shit-skinned man's a faggot. She's not going to get any input there. But she ends up having, essentially critters. She's looking for dick, but on the other hand, she's not really friends with dick. She just wants to go ahead and have Aryan dick. And folks, I have heard several people say, is that it's gotten so bad. I mean, Wigger's dating has gotten so bad. Someone went ahead and told me that, in their area, even in the Northwest, you know, I don't think it was Andreas who went ahead and said this, somebody else, that even in the Northwest, you will end up having essentially, young white females who essentially are looking for their first husband to go ahead and screw so they can go ahead and divorce them, get the kid, get the child support, live off of that, and they're pissing and moaning that the young quasi-men of their age don't want to go ahead and pay for the meal for the date. Don't want to do anything here. Just want to live in mommy's basement. I was sort of joking here is that probably the only thing they pay for is the rubber condom. And what they do is that they pull out, they take the condom with them. No telling what a modern Wigger woman's going to do. this is exactly what is going on here. Let me see if I can go ahead and see. This thing. It's over at the, this was band liar Bill here. What happens, I was Jew-lagged for a while, essentially, kept from seeing a bunch of my posts. I was going to go ahead and just simply, tell old shitty boob, Kentucky Chomo Munge, hey, look, dumbass, I may not know exactly who you are right now, but I can go ahead and hold Apocalypse, and I can go ahead and hold Engelded to account for you running wild. Do they really want to pay for you running your mouth? And then I decided, no, why do that? Why do that? The time may come when it comes time to club some mamsers. It's stupid to go ahead and give them a heads up. But anyway, let me see. Where was I? I'm clicking on stuff here. Where was it? No, it's not there here. Okay. Anyway. Now I'm looking at old Hiram here. Hiram, I guess you were mean to old Russ here, and he went ahead and left here, okay? And where am I at here? Well, Russ is a somewhat private organ, he's a somewhat private person here. Why should he go ahead and talk about, that which is not of anybody else's business? You don't do that, okay? Anyway, all right, Russ. It looks like Russ is back here, and, he says his wife is still on the phone. So, let me see. Yeah, I guess Russ is back here. He can go ahead and call when his wife gets off the phone. Okay, Central Florida is in on the call. Well, let's see. Okay. All righty. Well, folks, I'll go ahead and we will wait. Let me see. Go ahead and wait about, 2 minutes here. You know. Unless, we'll wait about 2 minutes here. And we'll go ahead and take a short break. So, folks, hail victory. Folks, we're back. I sort of think this Central Florida call was just a tard who wanted me to go ahead and take a break. So, pretty well when Russ's wife finally gets done talking on the phone, while Russ can go ahead and call in or not as he sees fit. And pretty well I'm going to go ahead and make a policy is that, well, essentially, if you really want to go ahead and call, go ahead and, well, I guess you're going to have to wait. If you're one of the nimtards who, you know, guest number 53 to 60, folks, I really don't have time to go ahead and let you run wild like I did Liz Linstead just a little while ago. Okay? So, well, Jeremy Visser, folks, Jeremy Visser is essentially compact number one. Okay? Anyway, and Visser, you know, I mean the Pisser Possum, I mean, I gotta laugh at the Pisser Possum. I mean, the critter is mad at me for essentially harping on this Melungeon Mamzer, even when its own brother essentially threw him the towel. Says, I don't want to play racist no more. I'm going ahead and looking over at Obagenderbender's form, and Obagenderbender, I guess, has gotten the news that, you know, over on 2.5 Mamzers, well, let's not talk about Pastor Martin Linstetter, let's not talk about, let's not talk about Pastor John Britton. Let's leave this stuff alone. And pretty well within Above Ground Christian Identity, what you have is you end up having the critters that already have an audience just pretty well settling for that particular audience. There's been a process of quack consolidation among the wandering mamzers of Wikipedia Talks to CI. And I think it was a good thing. I think it was a very good thing that essentially what TalkShoe did was it eliminated the ability to go ahead and troll using a Tor browser and a script generator. By essentially saying, well, you can't go ahead and post anything, you can't go ahead and enter anything as long as you're about to go ahead and be blocked. Now, a control freak like Fink, who wants to go ahead and get its critters on a TeamSpeak data mining list, isn't going to go ahead and unleash or unloosen TalkShoe. Someone like, Eli James, essentially, who understands he wants to go ahead and bring in new people, will go ahead and allow it as long as the trolling don't get too bad. Okay, well, it looks like essentially most of the TARDs went ahead and gave it up. Okay. Do I still talk to Logan? The answer is that Logan occasionally sends an email about the end of the world to me. Okay? He usually does. Well, it looks like a bunch of people went ahead and logged off here. There's a few people who think that Lagergeld is Linz, and the answer is no. I'm not going to go ahead and say it is, but essentially Lagergeld is not Linz. Okay? Why doesn't he do a show? Well, what happens is Jeremy scared the crap out of him here. Alrighty, let me see. Yeah, I'm looking, I guess old Russ went ahead and called it a night. Okay, I'm looking at this here. Or did he here? No, Russ is still there. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and essentially let some people have a chance here. Sam Saladin and Take G here, okay? Alrighty. Well, folks, I guess old Sam decided he wanted to go ahead and leave here. Alright, folks. What happens with Logan's show is essentially Jeremy No_Visser went ahead and admitted that he was 25% Cherokee. Then he realized he screwed up, so he went ahead and freaked out. And that night he went ahead and sent a complaint about language to TalkShoe. And Logan freaked out. And essentially I went ahead, so, okay, Logan, what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and get it to where, well, essentially, we'll go ahead and give it a little bit higher rating. And then the day of the show, we'll go ahead and get back to the old rating so people can go ahead and talk. And I went ahead at Logan's request and went ahead and essentially changed it to explicit language. So what Logan did is he went ahead, and since he's the one who owns the account, he went and changed the password. And then he did another show with the explicit language remaining. And, essentially, he did another show or maybe another show after that. But after Jeremy Visser went ahead and scared him, well, hey, he took a vacation about a couple months ago. So he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. He was gone for 3 or 4, and he has not done a show since. Now, I don't know. I hope that Logan is doing well. What he used to do is he used to have a conspiracy theory, and he got, he had some entertaining ones here. I'll admit that. But, folks, there's enough real shit happening. There's enough real shit happening that's in the news that you don't really need to go look for conspiracy theory anymore, do you? Don't need to go ahead and look for conspiracy theory at all. There's so much bad stuff coming in. Now, folks, this making essentially of
the big bank debt as just being a grade or two above junk bond status. Doesn't really matter, because essentially they're just parts of the Federal Jew Reserve. And what the Federal Jew Reserve will do is they'll print up or do whatever, you know, make enough zeros to where the depositors won't get hosed, the taxpayer will. We're just, you know, Zog is just a slush with zeros. You end up having, what, five times the amount of so-called money or currency or whatever floating around as you did 4 years ago. Essentially, there's a bunch of whining and pissing and moaning, oh, this is going to hurt the recovery. Well, I'm looking at what's going on in Greece. Essentially, they got a little bitty puppet government which would go ahead and claim, okay, well, we need to go ahead and borrow, you know, like a junkie, we need to go ahead and borrow some more credit, so we need to go ahead and put more austerity on the line. And folks, I don't really trust that election. I think it was probably a put on. It was probably a fraud. But folks, how long is it going to last? How long is this fraud going to last? It's not going to last very long. Okay? Well, I'm sort of looking at this thing here. Yeah, well, folks, go ahead and call in. Go ahead and call in. I don't think Russ is going to go ahead and call in, at least not soon here. Your show will be called Power Bottom. Okay. By all means, go ahead and call in. You don't need to go ahead and give your name. If I do see something in, we'll go ahead and we'll wait about 2 minutes or so. And then what we'll do is, the way the show is engineered is that I record what I have to say like now on an MP3 player, which is three times the dynamic range of TalkShoe. Then what I do is I go ahead and I go back and work on it. Anyway, what I'm going to go ahead and discuss tonight is that you have all these mamsters, they come in, and I mean, I was sort of laughing at Engelded, because essentially here's Engelded and its own quote friend, Streetwalker Bobby, says, "Don't effing use my name." And Engelded could have looked. We went ahead and used her name again. Now, I think somebody else used her name, which goes ahead and says is that they know who Streetwalker Barbie is. At least they know her, first name. So what to say? What to say? And Gilded don't have any nicety, any decency or anything like that. Folks, I was going to go ahead, I was looking for it, I haven't been able to find it. It might have been in one of the browser windows of Toshiba number one. You have this, well, essentially she's a Persian. She came from the land of Persia. She's a dark person. And essentially, Pastor John Britton told her is that she was actually a lur, L-L-H-U-R, who was a result of Cain or Nimrod forcing the white Elamites of Persia, from where the word Aryan is derived, to go ahead and miscegenate with these Dravidian Negroes. That's why the Persians look pretty dark. A lot of them do. Because they were forced to miscegenate. Well, somehow, she managed to get her way to Sweden. And here she found her some Swedish pecker. And she ends up having, a bunch of little, not quite Swedes anymore. And here she is,
essentially on the Mamzer Barrel forum. And yes, people, malignant critters like Shitty Boob, who are lusting after. He said, I'd lick your unbleached bunghole anytime, you know, Naki. She calls herself Anunnaki, which was the, I think, Sumerian god. One of Sumerian gods. I'm not quite sure if it was the, you know, the godmother. I call her Anunnaki, but in any case, she, I guess she was talking about how bad it is.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Okay, let's see. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Russ. Glad you can make it. Still there?
Oh, we don't know enough.
Yeah, yeah. You're not really loud, though.
Pardon?
Well, now you're louder. You talking closer to the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
This economic situation continues to collapse. They had three parties got together to form a government in Greece. And
mm-hmm.
Three parties means any kind of three bonds between any of the three parties will break the government up.
Well, it's a little coalition to go ahead and extend and pretend a little bit more, to go ahead and get a little bit more money while the German voters are just fed up. I mean, I think I told you what a month and a half ago, in one of the states, Angela Merkel got vote, you know, her, you know, essentially her party got voted out and replaced with, you know, there's two major parties.
In the state's election, right, Lower Saxony, you're right. The Germans eventually going to say it's over, but Yahweh's ruling the world. He's bringing this whole economic system to a collapse. I mean, Spain is in trouble, Portugal, everyone knows this stuff. Today, 12, I think maybe 15 banks had their credit ratings downgraded. Oh,
yes. What happens, some of them are only a fraction away from junk bond status. Let me go ahead and I had a listing of them. Let me see here.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, anyway, what happens is Goldman Sachs is a little bit higher. Some of them, like Bank of America, essentially is...
Bank of America had one notch, whatever one notch means.
About it's a half, you know, a notch, maybe two notches ahead of, you know. Essentially what it is I think it's B, you know, big B, little B. And essentially it's just a notch before CCC, which is junk bond status. You know what I mean? It's not AAA+, which is the highest ranking. Essentially, you know, it's been downgraded quite a bit because essentially it's a big old crooked bank. But Goldman Sachs...
What it says on Bloomberg. Credit Suisse Group, AG's credit rating was cut by 3 levels by Moody's Investor Service. Morgan Stanley has reduced 2 levels. The 13 other banks were downgraded in moves that may shake up competition among Wall Street's greatest, sorry, Wall Street's biggest firms. Whole bunch of companies here. Who cares? I don't own any of them. But the whole thing is collapsing. It's just. I understand. In Greece, the situation is terrible. Many people don't have electricity. They say they're running out of food. People are afraid to pay their bills. I understand that the people can't import new things because before people send in to Greece, they want COD, you know, cash in the barrel ahead or pay ahead of time. And I mean, there's real chaos coming in that country.
Well, what are they going to pay it? What are they going to pay it with?
I don't know.
I remember when I, you know, 30 years ago when I went down to Crete around May Day to help fire a missile in there. They had what was called drachmas, which was worth about, you know, you'd have about, five or ten of them to the penny or something like that here. You'd have some, you know, no, they were worth about half a cent. I forget here. I think there was about, 250 of them, or maybe it was 2,500, no. In any case, there was so many to the penny here. I'm not quite sure what it was here. Let me see. I remember going ahead, I made a big mistake. I went ahead and bought a genuine souvenir of Greece, a little bottle of ouzo for 25 drachmas, which cost, I think, about 50 cents or so. It was equivalent to 50 cents. And essentially, one night I went ahead and drank that genuine souvenir of Greece, and I had the second worst hangover I ever had in my life. It was made from real opium. It was pretty bad stuff for somebody who wasn't used to drinking something like that here. But, they used to have their own currency called the drachma.
Right.
And I guess a drachma was sort of like a lira or a pound. It meant a pound of silver, a drachma. And essentially what they're talking about is, well, one of the people, one of the groups here, which went ahead and brought Greece into the EU, there were a lot of people who said, well, it's just a bunch of swarthy Turkazoid characters, a bunch of brown people, you know, with a little bit of a few elements of white people left in them, but mainly just a bunch of brown people, essentially who live real poor, and do they really belong in the EU? And essentially, Goldman Sachs went ahead and sold the crap here out of them, and supposedly we were not supposed to have anything more than a 3% annual deficit maximum in order to qualify for the EU. And that was, you know, the actual result was more like 12%.
Now, there are all kinds of lies we're told.
Yeah, all kinds of lies were told.
My brother tells me in Spain, within 2 years after they adopted the euro, they used to have the peseta, so the price has almost doubled. For some reason, when the euro came to town, a lot of prices. I heard the same thing in Italy, that they used to have a lira.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, prices doubled in 2 years after the euro came in. I don't know why. I don't know if it was done intentionally, but they're saying if they go back to drachma, that about 1 euro will either equal approximately 2 drachmas, that the prices will really go down. I don't know. But they're only making it worse right now. These banks, you know, power corrupts. These guys want power to the last second. Bernanke and all of these guys, they're not going to do anything to give up power until it's really forced on them. You know, my wife and I saw a movie called The Wheat and the Barley.
Mm-hmm.
About the Irish
about the Irish Rebellion, about brother against brother. I need to go ahead and look at that one of these days.
Well,
here.
It's a complex story. It's not quite as simple as you say so, but yes, that did take place. However, the British were ruthless beyond belief, but the Irish, enough people died and were ruthlessly dealt with. They finally just kept at it. It's the same thing in Afghanistan. I don't care what the hell propaganda we hear. I mean, eventually the U.S. went kicked out of Afghanistan. I can remember Vietnam. We used to hear every night, you know, every night watching TV, body count, 600, 1,200, 1,400, every night.
I remember when I was a kid, you'd go ahead and hear, the death toll in American lives was not so bad. Only 32 Americans got killed today. And, I mean, you go ahead and, about five of them, a portion of the platoon was wiped out here, a portion was wiped out there, and I remember just one time as a kid listening to, 1967, I'd have been, 9 or 10, and listening to, I'd been 9, 8.
Great. Martin, every night, 1,200, 800, 600, 800, and one day all of a sudden the U.S. was evacuating Vietnam. I mean...
Well, it wasn't 1,200 ever, because supposedly about 60,000 or so Zoglings got killed.
Or 1,200 Viet Cong, whoever the hell Viet Cong were killed. They always had these kill numbers there. And there's a documentary out that 5 million people were killed in Vietnam.
I've heard it's more like 1 million to 3 million. But essentially, it didn't really matter. There's a saying that 1972 at the Paris Peace Accords, a United States Army colonel was telling his North Vietnamese counterpart, he says, you do know that every single time when we went ahead and slugged it out militarily face to face, we went ahead and defeated you on every single battle.
I've heard that saying.
And yeah. Pretty well, the North Korean or North Vietnamese colonel said that is true. Is also irrelevant. We are here to go ahead and discuss how you are going to leave my country. And that was exactly how it went ahead. And essentially, I think it was this time last year in Iraq. Essentially, the Iran Shiite ruler that we'd gone ahead and propped up simply told the American government folks, if American troops commit war crimes, essentially they're not going to be tried by American military courts, they're going to be tried by Iraqi courts. And essentially what boiled down to is that we got an eviction notice, and all these big camps with their American PXs and their military theaters and all these big towns that we'd gone ahead and created in a ring around Baghdad were gone. And from what I gather, probably what the Iraq government should have done is should have just simply taken them over, but it didn't. It didn't. It just simply went ahead, and the Iraqis poured in, they looted everything that they could, and essentially we're gone, except for this humongous embassy that we're still in. And essentially the same thing is happening in Afghanistan.
The radioactive U-238 stayed.
Well, yes. Well, it's not going anywhere at all, is it?
That little someone's blowing around the world. But anyway, it's so corrupt. Anyway, Martin, I won't take off right now.
Well, I was glad you could do. I was glad you could go ahead and show up here. Essentially, what I was going to go ahead and talk about, you went ahead and seen this Lumbee Indian or something like that. These characters who don't belong, they go ahead and they show up. And I've just been sort of surprised in that you end up being that racist asshole who causes trouble by going ahead and saying, well, if this is a white supremacist meeting, how come you're allowing these niggers in? How come you're allowing these non-whites in? How come you're allowing these characters in?
It doesn't have to be a white supremacist meeting. It just has to be a meeting of Caucasians, that's all.
No. I'm not talking about a place which supposedly they're a great, essentially your you're the alien because you insist upon, you know, only white people. I'm talking about, say, a Christian identity gathering or a Klan meeting or something like that, and here shows up these niggers or beaners or whatever, and essentially all the other wiggers, oh, they just go ahead and look with their thumb up their ass, and you're the asshole for daring to go ahead and point out, well, I thought this was a white supremacist meeting. I thought this was supposed to be this, or a Christian identity meeting.
I'm going to take off.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let you go here. But in any case, you did win to where this Lumbee Indian wasn't there at Pentecost, though, right?
Well, he was a Lumbee, but thanks for that. He didn't show up. He was told not to come back. That's okay.
Well, okay. Well, at least you won that one then, Russ. Anyway, I was glad you could show up, and hail victory, Russ, okay?
I'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Anyway, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a couple-minute break. Yeah, I've been yakking for 25 minutes here. Somewhat inanely, but we'll go ahead and be back in just a few minutes. And maybe if Central Florida is still around, we can go ahead and have him on. Folks, hail victory.
LBJ was a flying one morning over South Louisiana, feeling forlorn. And he looked down below, and what did he see? Two Cajuns pulling a nigger on ski. So he landed and said, thanks for helping you, black brother. And them two Cajuns looked at each other, said he might be smart, but I'll tell you something. He don't know a thing about alligator hunting. No, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a-getting much bigger. A rich man traveling down through the south, stopped in Mississippi to get a tooth pulled out. When he paid the doctor, the charge is due. He said, my nigger chauffeur's got a bad tooth too. Well, I pulled it, said the doctor, but you better not holler, cause I'll have to charge you $200. Cause here in Mississippi, can't open his mouth, I'll have to go through his bottom to get the thing out. Oh, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a-getting much bigger. Difference between a nigger and a donkey, about as much between a ape and a monkey. One's a little bigger, but you gotta agree, there's not very much more that you can see. But a mule earned his living by the sweat of his neck, while a nigger sits down on the government check. A nigger should be smarter as a general rule, but in a spelling contest, I take a mule. Oh, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a-getting much bigger.
Okay, folks, I'm back. I went ahead and gave a link to this, Iranian woman called, Anunnaki, and she said she was going to go ahead and have a nice midsummer. Well, somehow, I guess she found her way to Sweden, and she married a Swedish male, has had a number of children by him. And just like a lot of non-whites, or not quite whites, who wish they were white, they go ahead and marry in to this bloodline. And they go ahead and they thus destroy that particular bloodline. And folks, this is going on, be it good non-whites or bad non-whites. Actually, the bad non-whites are far more less dangerous than the good non-whites, because at least with the bad non-whites who say, I want to kill you, sucker, you know not to trust them and know not to let your guard down. But as things are going, you're going to end up having non-whites. I was looking at another thing about, well, I guess old Jared Taylor was talking against John Derbyshire, because said John Derbyshire wanted to go ahead and married a Chinese woman and had some mixed race Eurasian kids. And essentially he was saying that if you end up having a situation where in any given generation 9% of the whites are interbreeding with non-whites, how long is it going to be to where there is nothing left to marry that's white? Now, it said during the first Zog Babylon, which if you're into Christian identity, you understand that Christian identity says is that the Western and Northern whites are the, quote, lost 10, actually 13 tribes of the house of Israel, and that they're Yahweh's chosen, you know, servant nation of people. And, and then if you're of the dual seed line, you believe there's two seed lines, an evil seed line and a good seed line, that the evil seed line is the Jews, who are the result of Satan's seduction of Eve, giving birth to Cain, the first Jew. Now, the first Zog Babylon was not actually under Cain. It was Adam and Eve and most of their family who went to the Tarim Basin in southwestern China today, just north of the Himalayan mountains, and in a long place, about what, 350 miles wide, 600 miles or so long, they went ahead and lived. And they were in opposition to the evil one, Cain, who was Sargon the Great, who had a mighty empire stretching from Mesopotamia to the Mediterranean. And Bertrand Comperé went ahead and said is that actually Cain was Quetzalcoatl, who went ahead and taught the Indians his ways. It was said that you had these Mayan priests who imitated the Roman Catholic ceremony so well, but in their own language, that the Roman Catholic priests were first angered and then dismayed because they realized that this got out, it would go ahead and reveal that both the Mayan practice and the Roman Catholic practice in many ways were one and the same. It's all from the Baal cult of Sibley. So they went ahead and ordered the destruction of Indian books and Indian priestly rituals, essentially to go ahead and cover up that in many cases Cain was the founder of so much evil. But getting back to today, you have it at the time when both the not quite whites want to go ahead and, oh, I love the white race to death, so we're going to go ahead and have miscegenation. You end up having a whole bunch of critters within, quote, white nationalism who aren't white at all. Were rather slick, evil critters like Engeldon or Steve Brower. Or Drunken. In the case of Apocalypse, I don't think this character has drawn a sober breath between midnight and dawn for the better part of a year. And pretty well, he just let the Manzer barrel. Oh yeah, we're going to go ahead and, oh, we're going to allow... We're going to go ahead and allow the Jews like Johnson and Bluto and Puto and whatever, Shitty Boob and the rest. Just call Martin Lindstedt child molester. Call him whatever he wants. We're going to go ahead and allow all this crap to come in, but we're going to have the same rule against outing because we want to be anonymous. we want to go ahead and be quiet. We want to go ahead, essentially, be evil Mamzers, working our way in, pretend to be white supremacists, but not white. But, folks, we're coming to the time to where you go ahead and you see all the crap that's coming down to where, in many cases, it's just a big Republican with Mitt Romney against Obongo, and support is pretty well draining away from both of them. And you hear you have the Republican Party, oh yes, Obongo is bad here. He's gone ahead and he's allowed a couple millions of beaners to stay in this country and give them work permits so he can go ahead and get them to vote for him. And now the Republicans have enough sense to simply say is that, look, folks, we can say these elections don't mean anything because they're fraudulent. They don't mean anything because they're bogus. But the problem of it is that there are areas where Republicans rule, like in, say, Newton County. So as a result here, they can't really say was that Obongo's candidacy is illegitimate because he's not an American citizen. At the same time, say it is legitimate to not allow candidates who essentially don't do what tax bureaucrats tell them to do and file a return. Because, well, in many cases, he's already been told that as a, quote, white supremacist, he's not allowed to run for state or federal office anyway. So what difference does it make if he's not allowed to run for county office anymore? Folks, we don't have any lawful or legitimate government. And as time goes on, you find out that this illegitimate government isn't even able to go ahead and take care of what needs to be done. Now, the Greek people could go ahead and find themselves a little Adolf Hitler. He could say, hey, we're going to go ahead and go back to the drachma. We're going to go ahead and go back to essentially our own currency. We don't need to go ahead and have much of an army because we don't intend to invade Albania. In fact, we want to keep the Albanians out of our country. We don't intend to invade the Turks. We just, you know, intend to keep the Turks out of our country. And the end result will be that if they wanted to go ahead and put people to work, they could do so. They could go ahead and make sure that people have enough to eat. And just like what Adolf Hitler did, was he set up with his financial officer and set up what is called trade credits to where, folks, we're not going to go ahead and borrow money on both ends. If we need Argentinian beef and they need German trains, we're just going to go ahead and set up a little trading arrangements to where they give us so much beef and we go ahead and send them so many trains. We're not going to borrow money on either end to go ahead and pay the Jew banksters. And that was why the Jew banksters went ahead and declared war against National Socialist Germany. When it comes down to it, there is enough. I mean, I was struck after being in Germany as to how much land, how intensely it was cultivated. And you come across to America, and about the only parts of America that look much like Germany insofar as the cultivation are, oh, small little towns in northeastern Indiana and Ohio, a few places where people have been there for a while, and they do cultivate quite a bit. A German forest is rather a park-like thing with hardly any underbrush, whereas in Missouri, it's nothing but underbrush. We don't really go ahead and cultivate our land, hardly any, at all. Not near, you know, not a third of as much as they do in Germany. But then again, we still don't have the population pressure, but these population pressures would rise, you would think, but actually it's not. You understand that the white way of life depends upon white people. Now, I was listening to where essentially the Beaners are no longer the fasting girls thing. You see, all these Chinese, all these Chinks are, you know, and Indians, and all these Urquhart's are pouring in to America. And oh, how smart they are. Oh, how clever they are. Well, folks, if they were smart and so clever, why didn't they go ahead and set up a form of government? Why didn't they go ahead and set up a wonderful paradise on earth where they came from? And the answer is that as the mass, they're not a tenth of what white people are. But white people no longer are white people. You will go ahead and have these racial contaminants creep in. And just like in Noah's day, Noah ended up having to marry his first cousin. His first cousin, in order to go ahead and find someone who was of the pure line of Adam. They had gone ahead and they had expanded into this basin. And you still had some chinks, but then you end up having demons coming in, and they created these giants in the earth, and like I said, Genesis chapter 6, and violence filled the earth. Why did violence fill the earth? Well, it filled the earth because of Peter Duncan. Peter Duncan went ahead and made the critters crazy. I used to say such things as that schizophrenia is caused by Peter Duncan. And these idiot psychiatrists say, well, who's Peter Duncan? I said, Peter Duncan is not a who, it's a what. Folks, as you have fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer white people, fewer and fewer and fewer pure-blooded Uyghurs, who themselves are no longer able to take care of themselves to create a surplus, as you have more and more and more and more debt, and no possibility of paying that debt. You understand, is that when debt is contracted, the actual wealth decreases because you not only have to pay back the principal, you have to pay off the debt that you've contracted for, the interest. It is said that in Greece, what people are doing essentially is that they are living, you know, if they can, they are living like no tomorrow because they have no intention of going ahead and paying back on their credit cards. And you are seeing that more and more, especially among the young who get this, quote, student debt. And what they're doing is they're going ahead and borrowing to have a pizza today and then worry about being able to pay it back tomorrow. Here in Southwest Missouri, you have these liberals whining about the job of this administrator of the local four-year college in Joplin, Missouri Southern State University. Folks, it was a perfectly good college, but they decided to go ahead and upgrade it to a university, even though it doesn't do a single thing more than it did as a college. And the liberals are whining, oh no! This administrator is not doing a good job. We don't have academic wonderfulness anymore. Well, folks, you never did have it. All it was supposed to be was a regional state university. It's good enough. And this guy is understanding that over the last 4 years where you've ended up having cuts of 8 or 9% per year, that this guy is managing a decline as best he can and trying to keep it from becoming a collapse. That's why he ended up getting a renewal, because he's been doing what the Board of Governors has told him to do, was hold the line and pretty well do a little bit less with a lot less money coming in. And in turn, here are these students going ahead and borrowing money to go ahead and pay for a job that they don't have. And it's gotten to where here, Uyghurs in the Northwest Wiggers is bitching about how the young Wiggers, don't have any money to buy pussy from them. They don't have jobs. They don't have anything. They live with mama in the basement. Sort of like Apocalypse here does, and his hybrid nigger, beaner, lawyer, mother's basement. And essentially, liquor is sort of cheaper. Cheaper than meth, cheaper than anything else. And essentially, the drunken Indian just stays in, you know, stays in mama's basement. Isn't going to go ahead and actually go out to get himself some pussy. It's just going to go ahead and lust after a beanerous cougarist who goes ahead and lives in, oh, Chihuahua, Mexico or something. Okay? Well, you end up having this whining going on here. Folks, let me see. I'm going to go ahead and take yet another break here. And take G, we're going to go ahead and let you on after about 2 minutes here. Hail Victory.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, I'm George Takei. Recently, I've been troubled to hear comments made by former NBA All-Star Tim Hardaway, who said, "I hate gay people. Let it be known, I don't like gay people. I'm homophobic." As a gay man and a human being, I was shocked and saddened. But I want you to know, Tim, on behalf of gay people everywhere, that despite your ugly words, we don't hate you. As a matter of fact, we like you. We like you very much. We particularly like your large, powerful cat. Your smooth, chocolatey head, glazed in man's. I'll keep my eyes on you, and let it be known, one day, when you least expect it, I will have sex with you. I love sweaty basketball players.
Okay, Take G, you're on, I'm back on, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, but actually, you mispronounced my handle. It's actually Takei G.
Okay, Takei G.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us anything about yourself, or what did you want to talk about?
Well, why not? First of all, do you recognize my voice?
Sounds a little bit familiar.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's all right. Let me give you a hint. Star Trek.
George Takei?
That's right. Boy, you got very good. It must have been a long time since you've heard my voice. But yes, that is me. I am George Takei.
Okay. Well, this, I guess, is the movement turd history. I'm sort of surprised as to why you're talking to a racist character here in the Midwest here.
Let me explain. Every now and then, one of my favorite things to do is is go on Google just to put in my own name. And when I did, I got one of those search results from Hal Turner. And I didn't know who Hal Turner was at the time. But he was saying some very vile things about, you know, me coming out of the closet. And if you know, a couple of years ago, I came out of the closet and announced that I was gay. And apparently, the next day, Hal Turner posted on his blog a lot of very nasty and vile things about me. So I went looking and I went researching, and one of the sites that was connected to this blog, connected to this talk show, I guess, went ahead and posted a link. And so I clicked it, and I guess it's my understanding that Hal has been incarcerated. So I've just kind of been looking for any links to Hal Turner, maybe, just to address some of the very vile and nasty things that he said about me, because it was very hurtful. So that's how I came to this talk show.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I'm being put on or not here. I'm not sure if you're real George Takei, but Hal Turner was essentially, he was a, quote, racial shock jock who hung around the movement, but at the same time, he was a rather greedy, lying retard who was actually as well working for the FBI. And he would be paid, not only to rat on and snitch out people, but he would sort of be, you know, it's just like the FBI has over the years. This government, I can't think of any major act of either domestic or foreign-based, you know, quote, terrorism, be it Oklahoma City or be it 911, with the FBI. You know, huh?
That's very surprising. That's really news to me. I don't really keep up on these things, obviously, but that's really shocking.
That Hal Turner was not only a rat, but an agent provocateur?
Well, maybe not just Hal. I'm not familiar with Hal Turner, but like you were saying, Oklahoma City or 9/11, and just how many people, as you say, are supposedly flats or undercover folks, as you would say. I'm not familiar with it, but that's very shocking and frightening news.
Okay, what this show is about is it's devoted to, well, mainly Dual Feline Christianity, which is a racial religion. Generally, this show, unlike most of, quote, white nationalism, most white nationalism is most of the time just a con job, be it David Duke or the rest. It's designed to go ahead and put some money, you know, in the fearless leader's pockets and make them rich. This show is about essentially exposing so-called white nationalist leaders and frauds and liars and kooks and weirdos, and essentially urging people that since this government, this form of government, the world we live in, is pretty well doomed by the Great Tribulation, to tell ordinary white people to stop bothering, to go ahead and get in trouble, to go ahead and do something stupid, essentially see the handwriting on the wall, and to go ahead and save themselves. And pretty well, Hal Turner, you know, I used to be aligned with this character who would hang around Hal Turner, and the guy was a total nutcase, and he pretty well betrayed me. But from what I gather, Hal Turner didn't actually send too many people in actual jail. Most of the time, nowadays, what you end up having is that you end up having the FBI going to some Negro or some Arab kid in this country, and essentially giving them a bunch of, quote, sort of instruction on how to make car bombs, even though they know how to make them real good in Iraq and Afghanistan. somehow they don't know how to go ahead. They give them an inert thing, and then they go ahead and they bust this great terrorist plot, and then they go ahead and use that as an excuse to have more and more and more, well, control over the economy and over the people, over these false front accusations. And Hal Turner was essentially one of these little characters. And from what I gather, he got $100,000 a year to go ahead and snitch out people. And he didn't really seduce anybody. But what he did is he supposedly threatened three federal judges for ruling against gun rights. And essentially he got sentenced, I think, to 3 years in prison. Now he's in a halfway house. And from my Gary, he's not allowed to be on the internet for a number of years. And there's a lot of people. Hal Turner was probably the best showman of the entire bowel movement, as I say, but he was just a lying scumbag without any morals, without any scruples, but who did have a measure of personal bravery. Last year, he threatened some Connecticut lawmakers. He fired his public defender, took the case himself. And he managed to go ahead and convince him this was a First Amendment case that he wasn't able to do with a lawyer, a public pretender in a federal case. So.
Wow. Wow.
So you didn't know all that about Hal Turner?
No, I didn't know any of that. All I knew about Hal Turner was that he's very anti-gay and says some very hurtful things about me. But this has been, I'll tell you, Pastor, this has been very informative. It's been very informative, and I guess I just a couple of questions for you, if that's all right.
Sure.
Well, so you said you are in contact with some people who knew Hal Turner. Well, that's great.
I was sort of in contact. What happens is the guy lived in New Jersey. His name was Sci-Fi Faber. Part of the belief that Wesley Swift had is that Negroes were essentially imported from the Dog Star. You know, I mean, Sci-Fi was a complete idiot. Complete, huh?
Oh, my. That sounds really far-fetched.
Well, in Christian Identity, I'm a Comparean believer after Bertrand Comparé, but there was some belief, you know, in Christian Identity, there's a belief that in dual seed line, is that non-whites were created on the sixth day, that they're the beasts in the field, that they have no souls.
Oh, my.
Well, yes. Well, generally you probably inadvertently hooked up with probably the biggest maniac, you know, racist maniac, in Dogland. Well, I'm not here to give you a hard time, to be honest with you, Mr. Takai. I mean, I did like watching Star Trek, even though a lot of stuff I didn't really like about it here. But,
and so what about Star Trek did you most enjoy?
Well, if you go ahead and look at the original series, was essentially what they call the space opera, to where you had a totally different way of doing things. Old Kirk would go ahead, you know, old Commander Kirk here. And I mean, folks, most of us called it the USS Enterprise because essentially William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy were Jews here, so we called it the Enterprise. But the original series was a rather, essentially, sort of like a wagon train to the stars, to where you would have a sort of explore. You'd go ahead, essentially boldly go and explore where no man had gone before, and then when you end up having all the later things, you had more and more and more of the quote politically correct horseshit, more and more of uniforms and decorations. Just go ahead and look at the shirts that they used to wear. I mean, essentially they just wore. Essentially, they just wore black pants and a yellow or red or blue shirt and didn't wear a lot of stuffy uniforms. And later on, I mean, it just by the uniform, just by the way of doing things, it essentially was a totally different feel in the 1960s than it was in, say, the end of the 90s, and then later on. And by the end of the series, where the Enterprise essentially canceled it because nobody was looking at it anymore, correct?
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And now, if you might remember, in the original series, we had a saying called infinite diversity and infinite combinations through that diversity. And
okay.
I don't know, maybe I suppose being a Christian identity pastor, you probably take offense to that.
No, I don't really. To be honest with you, I don't take very much offense to about anything because, you know, people say the Christian identity is arrogant because essentially to us, what other peoples or what other races do don't really matter to us as long as it's not in this country. What you are into having is that through essentially miscegenation and race mixing, you are having more and more and more people, you know, well, we call them Mamsers here. You have more and more people who are essentially to the same low grade. So therefore, I don't take really any offense. I mean, I'm sort of shocked here that I got a major celebrity, you know, pretty well calling in. And in many cases, this show is quite unusual in that I don't have to go ahead pretend to be a quote white supremacist or Christian identity minister because I am what I am. This is a genuine article. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I want to make this very clear. I obviously don't agree with you, and as you know, I'm Japanese, and my religion is Buddhist. But I will tell you this, Pastor. My ancestors are Japanese, and I will say this: in Japan, they don't really have much tolerance for, as you say, mixing and immigration and whatnot. So it might be a little bit hypocritical for me to call you out. So I don't agree with you, and I think America is a very diverse country. We're the most diverse country in the world, and I think that we have something here called the First Amendment, and we have to tolerate all of, you know, free speech, we have freedom of ideas, and we have to tolerate all these things, just as I'll tolerate, I don't think there should be any law that prohibits you, for example, from saying what you're saying. Now, obviously, I don't agree, but again, being of Japanese ancestry, I certainly see where you're coming from, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. There's a lot of Japanese who, when you go ahead and talk about genetic drift here, supposedly the English and the Janes are very, very close to each other. Well, same thing with the Japanese and the Koreans. But from what I gather, Koreans and Japanese don't much care for each other at all.
Well, that's very true.
You know, and generally there's a lot of Koreans who essentially they're still very, very annoyed at what happened in the years before World War II. And in many cases, you know, you're going to end up having, even among people who supposedly to you may look a lot like, you will end up having a good deal of hatred here. In my particular case, you know, I'm mainly of Swedish descent here with a name like Lindstedt. A number of years ago, my family was, well, my grandchildren were taken and stolen and bought and sold. And then a year later, I was accused on trumped-up child molestation charges. Essentially, a policeman got a social worker to claim that my slightly retarded grandson had gone ahead and claimed that I kissed his penis.
Oh,
dear. Totally flimsy evidence. And then, you know, the grandchildren were stolen. I was trying to go ahead and get them back. I was suing this particular judge to try to get them back. The local state courts did not give a crap. I mean, essentially all across the plain, government is no longer working like what you read in a textbook or in any other book here. And because I've gone ahead and sued the government quite a few times, you know, and I've lost this latest lawsuit against, Obama. But I'll go ahead and go with it here. Essentially, for 3.5 years, I was sent to a high-security mental health prison.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yes, I was very well sent in there. And pretty well, I was doped up. And I got 4 of my teeth knocked out by the Newton County police. You know, being taken there for making fun of them. And essentially, during pretty well most of the last of George Bush's administration and all of this Republican Governor of Missouri's administration, I was essentially locked up for nothing more than, you know, than demanding to represent myself and to go ahead and confront my grandson.
Oh my.
And what I had to do is for 2 years, a little bit over 2 years, I was doped up, not greatly doped up, but enough to go ahead and justify keeping me incarcerated in a mental health facility. And then I went ahead and found a new doctor. They were tired of me. I mean, I was not a very nice prisoner. I would cause a good deal of trouble. I was, you know, a high functioning nut. Eventually, I went ahead and convinced this doctor to discontinue the forced medication, got sent back to Newton County, demanded to be able to represent myself, and once I was able to represent myself, demanded to have access to a law library, and then once I got access to a law library, all the other prisoners wanted to ditch their public pretenders, you know, as well. So essentially, I was, instead of having a $100,000 bond, a ridiculous high bond to keep me from going ahead and representing myself, I was able to go ahead and get out on bond. And at the very first opportunity at the preliminary hearing, the charges had to be dismissed because my grandson essentially said it wasn't true. I still lost 3.5 years of my life, was tortured, got my teeth knocked out, had my family, you know, my little white grandchildren bought and sold. And, see, George, I mean, the thing about it is that in real life here, things are pretty well falling apart here. So, generally, here I am, I was suing Obama. I was asking that this Missouri statute be dismissed to where essentially declared unconstitutional because essentially what they did is they would not allow me to run for United States Senator or for Governor of Missouri while I was locked up in the nut house. So I said, well, look, you ought to go ahead and declare this law unconstitutional, allow people who are awaiting trial to run for office either in chains or to in absentia. And the second one is that because I'm a, quote, white supremacist, according to the Missouri Republican and Democrat and Libertarian Party, so-called Libertarians, I'm not allowed to run.
Oh, my.
White supremacist as a federal or state candidate. And what
I'll tell you, that doesn't sound like the First Amendment to me.
No, it's not. You know, George, it was only, less than 8 years after the so-called Constitution got amended, that was something called the Alien and Sedition Acts under John Adams, which said that if you went ahead and criticized the Congress or the President of the United States, but you could criticize, you know, Thomas Jefferson all you wanted to, but if you criticized, you know, essentially the President of the Congress, you could be put in jail. Now, was the Constitution a bill of goods of any use then? And the answer is no. What happens is that essentially the Constitution is meant to do whatever the government wants. And, you know, I sort of, you know, being, you know, since I believe that the pure white race is of the Israelites, essentially how the Israelites handled that was through a bloody civil war and revolution and killing their kings and going ahead and setting up a new set of kings who would turn out bad. And essentially, I don't believe that government is in any way possible unless you have the ability to go ahead and have civil war all the time. So, George, what I'm saying is that the Constitution and Bill of Goods didn't do me any good. Right now, I've been kicked off the ballot.
Oh, my.
I've been kicked off the ballot as a Libertarian candidate for Newton County because essentially they've gone ahead and passed the law. Now it's determined by a revenue lawyer. And since I didn't go ahead and file an income tax form, that essentially I'm not to be allowed to run. And like I told the Secret Service, when they came to investigate me based upon what some Jews, Andy Christianity, said, essentially I said that since I am not allowed to run as a, quote, white supremacist, and since other white supremacists or you would not be allowed to vote for me, therefore there is no representation. There is no real representative government. And therefore, there's no representation, you know, to government. Therefore, those who are not represented have no obligation to pay taxes, and they have no obligation to obey the laws of a non-representational government. And you understand is that supposedly the claim is that this is a Republican form of government, a.k.a. representational democracy. But it isn't. If certain candidates are no longer allowed to run, then I would say that those who are not represented have no obligation to that government.
I see. Well, you know, what you're saying, Pastor Vince, that, you know, in regards to your story and your experience in jail, these accusations, if they're true, they're shocking and they're appalling. No matter what your beliefs are, I was under the impression that in the year 2012, no American should be subjected to that kind of treatment. Now, if you know something about me, when I was very young, me and my family were taken off to internment camps just because we looked Japanese. And
yeah.
I thought, I was under the impression that those days were long done. But it seems like
they were
there's
not,
some...
George, they were not long done. I mean, in some cases, you had ethnic Germans. If you want to go ahead and, you know, it's on the Hitler Channel before the History Channel. We call it the Hitler Channel because it's all Hitler all the time gives ass whooped by Jews. So, you know, that was, you know, I've come up with a number of, you know, statements as well, you know. Well, anyway, I'm quite an internet personality, but getting on with it. George, the Constitution has never protected anybody at any time, at any place. The only thing that protects anyone essentially is a determination to go ahead and hunt down, you know, criminals and their families who go ahead and violate it. Right now, since America, you know, you do agree that America is in steep decline, wouldn't you?
Well, I do agree to a certain extent, and I will agree that the Constitution at points and times hasn't really done a very good job in protecting people, and I am, as you know, I'm living testament to that. As far as the decline goes, I do see things getting. I live in California. I live in Southern California, I live quite well, but I do see, how shall I say this, the spiritual and economic state of just the everyday American seems to be getting worse and worse, and it's really quite frightening.
And
if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, yes, I do understand. To me, someone ill, I believe that this matter will be taken care of by the Great Tribulation. Now, what the Great Tribulation was, is that, you know, like Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, he said that unless there's going to be a Great Tribulation such as never was and never will be again. And unless Jesus Christ returns, there should be no flesh to be saved. So pretty well the Protestant view is in the book of Revelations, from Revelations chapter 4 to Revelations chapter 18, you have 7 years. The first 3.5 are awful. The last 3 are even worse. By Revelations chapter 18, you have the total economic decline of Zog Babylon, and Zog means Zionist occupation government. Babylon means that, you know, for myself, a Christian, a Copperian, dual seed line Christian identity minister, it means that there have been 3 major Babylons, one under Cain, who was Sargon the Great, one under Nimrod, extending to today, and this last one is Zog Babylon, where you'll have the mixture of the seed of men, and essentially you end up having essentially things ready to implode. Then Revelations chapter 19, where Jesus Christ comes back, you know, in his bloody second coming, there's hardly anybody left alive. And I'm pointing out that is the salvation of the white race. Now, in Christian identity, you end up having a bunch of Jews and a bunch of Catholics and a bunch of papist preterists. And there are several hundred hours of these programs. And by the way, I got kicked off of TalkShoe. I got kicked off my webpage by this one little non-white pretending to be a white supremacist getting me kicked off of a lot of these, you know, a lot of these shows. And my main forum is whitenationalist.org, and the forum is /forum. And this show is to pretty well say is there is, you know, the only hope essentially is the absolute destruction of essentially the destruction of the world as we know it today. Don't worry about it. Do not go ahead and get in trouble. Don't go ahead and be plotting any stupid crap. That's what I told these Secret Service agents is that, no, I despised Obama. I didn't think he was an American citizen. But essentially he's the face of the critter that's going to go ahead and essentially destroy America. I think George Bush pretty well, Bush the second, but all of them have gone ahead and brought the thing ahead. Obama is just simply a little caretaker, and I think he's going to win the, you know, selection coming up ahead. But there's nothing, you know, I mean, you're in Southern California, you are seeing $16 billion in debt, and Jerry Brown said, well, if you have any solutions, you tell me. What was his name? Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was an incompetent boob, who essentially who let things just run in California. And what is happening in California essentially is that the white population is leaving, the Mexicans are pouring in, and essentially you have endemic structural decline that I don't think can be fixed. Do you see it being fixed?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Pastor Lindstedt, and to be honest with you, I really haven't thought too much about these things. As a matter of fact, this call has been a lot more informative and a lot deeper than I thought it would go. I know things are getting worse and worse here in California. And as I said, me and my partner Brad, we live pretty well, for the average person, whether they're Mexican or white or Anglo or whatever they are, things do seem to be getting worse, and the infrastructure does appear to be crumbling. So, yes, I mean, I'm a Buddhist, And so I don't agree with Christian identity, as you say it. But despite that, I can at least see some common ground in the fact that things are decaying, they're declining, and it looks as if, in my humble opinion, that things are eventually going to come to a head. And when they do, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think.
How old are you, George? You're in your 60s or 70s?
Well, I'm in my late 70s right now. I'm in my late... Now, a lot of people tell me that I look younger than I am, but I'm in my late 70s.
I guess you do look about 5 or 6 years younger than what you possibly are.
Well, thank you.
Okay. And see, what I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Kai, is that... what happens is that there, people are people. I think white Americans were you're going to have a different form of government than, say, in Japan or in China or in every place. And essentially, the non-whites have prospered under America. But generally, there's only one way for a government to go ahead and get its way, and that's to either go ahead and kill its enemies or imprison them or terrorize them or something. And since they did not trust the loyalty of these Japanese subjects, of their Japanese subjects, they simply went ahead and put them into a camp. And
well, that's true.
The same thing happened to myself. The reason they wanted to go ahead and forced me to have a public pretender is that they could go ahead and then just have a little production, and then essentially I could be railroaded. And essentially I was told by quite a few people the entire thing of the Newton County Police in the state of Missouri was to have me convicted of child molestation and murder as a racist, child molester in prison. And, I've even gone ahead and, found out there's been some federal involvement here. And what pretty well keeps me somewhat safe is that essentially, like the Secret Service and the FBI, they go ahead, they read my webpage, and this show is actually listened to quite a bit by the FBI and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. And the reason is listened to is that after 19 years, I know pretty well about everybody or as about everybody in this particular bowel movement, this white supremacist movement. And to be honest with you, about the only one who I have even just a portion of any respect for is one Harold Covington, who believes that essentially white people ought to move to Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Western Montana, and when this nation falls apart, as it will, as this empire falls apart, you have white people go ahead and kill and pretty well take power and set up a white nationalist racist state. I don't agree with that, and the reason I don't agree is that Harold's trying to go ahead and build something, and, sort of like Sodom and Gomorrah, where there's not even 10 righteous men, Harold Covington isn't going to find 1,000 warlords, he's not going to find 500 warlords, he's not going to find 100 or even 50, and essentially, I don't think that his plan is going to go ahead and work. He's right that this country is falling apart. It's going to go ahead and go to chaos. It's going to go to civil war. And so I support something what I call the 10,000 warlords, to where when this Armageddon occurs, there's only 10 million white people left on this continent, or at least where America was, and they'll be ruled by 10,000, decentralized warlords under a dual seed like Christian identity theocracy, while Jesus Christ is, coming. And essentially it's sort of like the fall, it's sort of based upon the fall of Rome, but decentralized into about 10,000 warlords. Well, I mean, my history is that you probably wouldn't believe this, but in the early 80s, I was in Germany, and I was, essentially in fire direction control for ground launch tactical nuclear missiles called the Lance system. I used
Is that
to go
right?
ahead Yeah, I used to go ahead and target. You know, nuclear missiles against the Russians in case they went ahead and went across the border. And you know, ever since then, I guess I've gone ahead and gone a long way from being a loyal soldier for the United States military here quite a bit. I mean, it's sort of laughable. You know, I don't think the United States government would trust me anywhere near nuclear weapons.
Maybe not, but I will say this, Pastor, that if you were as crazy as those people say you are, you probably would have already pushed the button back then.
Well, no. Well, the thing about it is that that's what a lot of people... You have all these people who are talking about launching, you know... I mean, I actually went ahead and got to see it. There are a great deal of control of nuclear weapons. I believe that Iran already has nuclear weapons. I believe that when the Soviet Union fell apart, they just simply bought some of these nuclear warheads, and they're just going through the motions of pretend to scrape fuel rods. They already have nuclear weapons. Way back in the first Gulf War, you know, when they were talking about going against Saddam Hussein's Scud missiles, and they were destroying a Scud missile launcher. Well, folks, essentially about $100 worth of welded aluminum pipe, essentially marked on, you know, in a regular truck, you can have a perfectly working, you know, missile launcher just simply with a, you know, I mean, a Scud is more like a German V1 missile here. The Lance was actually, you know, the difference between a missile and a rocket is that a missile has a guidance system. A missile has a guidance system. A rocket is, you know, essentially no guidance system. It's just simply aimed on a trajectory. And, you know, pretty well, Korea, Iran, they probably have, oh, the equivalent of a Pershing, you know, a 1980s Pershing missile. And essentially, I believe they already have the nuclear weapons. And increasingly, the American military is overstretched. It's pretty well, it's seen better days. And pretty well the entire world, not just Southern California, the entire country is pretty well changing, and it's in decline, and this is structural endemic decline, and there is no change. And when these people come by, usually what boils down is that if they arrest me, well, essentially, you know, they don't know what the hell I'm going to say at trial. And unlike all these other people who've been arrested, trumped up on single charges, I just simply come to, you know, pretty well saying is that you destroyed my family. I don't want your money. I don't want an apology. Essentially, I want to put you and your entire family to death. I mean, there's just, you know, essentially there's no choice. You know, I mean, it didn't matter that I was not guilty of doing anything to my poor retarded grandson. Essentially, they did to me because they were on the side of evil and I'm on the side of good. And therefore, you don't compromise with evil. You merely destroy that. And you destroy evil people, and you destroy anybody who essentially associates with it. So therefore, when somebody from the government comes to my door, I don't pretend that I like them. I don't pretend that, you know, I don't pretend to have anything to do with them. Essentially, I tell them is that I look forward to skinning them and their children alive. And essentially, if you want to go ahead and bring on the Civil War today, go ahead and bring it on. You know, because I'm not, I mean, after, you know, I tell stories sometimes of what I've seen at the Nut House, and everybody believes me because it's so weird. You know, you can't make this stuff up. I was looking at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest the other day, and some of it looked like essentially old days at Biggs, you know, at Biggs Maximum Security Nuthouse here.
This year.
Essentially, things are coming to a head. There is no solution. You know, there is just simply no way out until, you know, one side or the other is, you know, goes ahead and exterminates the other. And essentially what Christian Identity says, and it's a good deal more like Ragnarok, at least in my version of it. You know, I think you've heard some of the Norse, you know, the Swedish,
oh, yeah,
you know, myths to where essentially, you know, Thor and Odin, you know, the gods and the giants fight each other. At the very end, there's nothing left alive except a man and a woman. And essentially the cycle begins. You know, I don't know if you've read the Stephen King Black Tower series to where
I haven't personally read the Stephen King Black Tower series, no.
Okay, but you've heard of it, right?
I most certainly have.
Okay, well, I don't want to exactly spoil the end for you, but at the very end, what happens is that old Roland essentially goes through the cycle again. It's just a big old infinite, you know, closed cycle to where he ends up going back, you know, to, well, the very first one. Through the desert here, the black man and, you know, black man ran and the gunfighter followed. And essentially it goes, you know, by the end of book 7, he just goes ahead and closes the circle. And pretty well the Norse myths were the same, is that at the very end there's just a man and a woman, the gods and the giants, the evil giants go ahead and destroy themselves. Well, Christian Identity is somewhat different, but in many cases, at least for someone of Swedish origin like me, I guess I go ahead and bring that to, you know, at least Christian Identity. But then again, that's better than bringing Roman Catholicism and Jews and the rest here, bringing their little particular heresy.
Well, it may be. Well, I agree with you on that point. That's very interesting. I do know a thing or two about Norse mythology. But I just wanted to say this call has gone on a little bit longer than I thought it was. My partner's already come home. I have to be heading out. It's getting a little bit late here on the West Coast, but it was a pleasure talking to you. And I think I'll tell you this, Pastor. I think you're talented. I think your story is a very interesting one, and I think you ought to consider writing a book. You might even be a bestseller if you would just get on the public forum and tell your story. There might be a lot of people willing to listen to you.
Well, generally, what happens is that pretty well about everybody, certainly in Missouri, knows me by sight here. Of course, I'm pretty well about the only long-haired, half-bearded, I have half a beard, character here. I met my evil twin. Actually, it was my good twin. I met him at the Nut House in February 2006 in the Roman Catholic Chapel where I was trying to get off the board. And essentially, he had half a beard. He was protesting, you know, I was doing it for a sort of religious thing, but also to go ahead and essentially make a point. But he was doing it because he was protesting his two-faced lawyer. He killed his daddy with a claw hammer, and essentially the lawyer, you know, the lawyer said, well, hey, you've been in that house before. Why don't you go ahead and essentially say you were nuts? And oh, he's still in the nut house system. He's a very smart, intelligent man, but he's he is somewhat of a maniac here. One time he found out his wife was going ahead cheating on her, so he went ahead and he chased her around the backyard in a small car. Then he backed her up against this tree, and then hacked off all her hair with the scissors. And then he was bellyaching to me is that the Missouri nut house system is a lot worse than the Kansas nut house system. And I said, well, what you should have done is you should have lured your daddy, you know, across the street in Kansas City, Kansas, and killed him there with the claw hammer. And then you'd have had the better conditions at the Kansas State nut house as opposed to the Missouri State nut house. And he sort of thought that was funny. But, yeah, I guess maybe I ought to go ahead and tell a few little stories about, you know, about Nut House Living. And you have all sorts of characters at the Nut House. You have people who are indeed insane, or nuts as can be. And you have calculating criminals. And you have, well, you have a few people, essentially they go ahead and put you there. And when they put you there, essentially because you are, quote, insane, you, essentially anything you write down is ignored because, remember, you're insane.
Right,
and, pretty well, you know, habeas corpus doesn't mean anything. Supposedly the bastion of Anglo-Saxon law and liberty. The thing about it is that when you need habeas corpus, that's when it doesn't amount to anything because essentially, they've gone ahead and separated habeas corpus from the criminal thing and made it a civil matter. So here you are, a nut in the nut house. You're insane. You can't write for yourself. And what happens, the public pretender won't go ahead and write you up a habeas corpus because that's a civil matter, not a criminal matter. So therefore, you sit in the nut house for forever. And in some cases, you know, I mean, I'm pretty well, you know, it's not quite as bad as it was, but, this Joe Lee Loeffner here, he managed to go ahead and, he's quite nuts here, and they were claiming he was a white supremacist until he found out that he was a Jew, too. He was just a nutty Jew, but in any case, they do go ahead and they dope up people, and they do whatever the heck they want. And everything they said about the Soviet prison system when I was a boy, they do today to whoever they want here. And essentially, this government does whatever the hell it pleases. It doesn't really care. And more to the point, it's not even competent anymore. It doesn't know how to run a state government or a county government or a federal government or a world government. And essentially, the population is going downhill. So, anyway, Mr. Takai, maybe you'll come to whitenationalist.org, / forum. And let me see, I got Gmail, Pastor Listed at, gmail.com.
All right.
And in any case, we're different races and we're different religions. And no, I don't think we're going to go ahead and, agree at all about a lot of things, but I think we both see certain things which are too obvious in that essentially this country is coming, I believe, to, the end of its life here, and that from my gather, you Buddhists believe in reincarnation or something like that?
That's right, that's right. We believe in reincarnation.
And if you live Buddhism was pretty well a change from Hinduism. You don't have to go through 84,000 lives or anything like that. You can go ahead and achieve nirvana.
Not necessarily. You can achieve nirvana just by breaking. By reaching enlightenment and breaking the circle of samsara, as the Hindus put it, and as us Buddhists put it as well. But the difference between Buddhism and Hinduism is that Buddhism originally said that this is possible for all people, whereas Hinduism said it was just possible for people on the higher caste, I guess.
And
the people on the lower caste were considered once-borns, which is just one.
And the ones who are on the higher caste were the thrice born, and you do know where the caste system came from, correct?
I believe it came from the color of the invaders, the people who invaded India, if I'm not mistaken. And
well, yeah, 3,500 to 4,000 years ago, these people called Aryans, which meant in Persian, the noble ones, the Persians, the Aryans who went ahead and left and got in their ox carts, they had they had tribal gods just like the North, you know, just like the Norse and just like the Greeks. They had Zeus and Woden. They had a war god and a number of them. And essentially, they loaded up their ox carts and they headed to defeating these brown people, these black people called the Dravidians. And their main god, just like Zeus or Woden, was called Brahim. And when they went ahead and conquered, they were white Nazi supermen. They went ahead and they conquered. And then they figured out, well, hey, these non-whites outnumber us 100-1. If we go ahead and interbreed with them, they're going to go ahead and outnumber us. We're not going to be around. So they set up what was called the caste system, and the world for color was called Varna. And essentially that was the same word as the thing for class. And they set up, at the very top you have the priest, then you'd have the warriors, then you'd end up having the merchants, and then you'd end up having the farmers, and then everybody else was, quote, untouchable. And about 1,500 or 1,000 years passed, essentially, even though you had this caste system, you had some interbreeding, and by the time Buddha came along, I sort of think he figured out is that what is the purpose of having a caste system when we no longer have essentially pure white people
left around?
And essentially what he did is he pretty well set to where anybody could go ahead and achieve enlightenment. And the reason it pretty well died in India is that here came the Muslims and they slaughtered a lot of the Buddhists. But it was a warrior's religion for a while, but essentially it pretty well died out, but it went to China, it went to Japan and Tibet and a number of places, it went to Thailand, and pretty well it flourished there where it didn't flourish in India.
Right.
In any case, the Aryans who stayed behind in Iran or Aryan, they went ahead and developed Zoroastrianism, which was pretty well the beginning of the Western religions of good versus evil. In the case of dual seed line Christianity, it's called dual seed line because you have a fight between good and evil. And there are pretty well we say is that it started with Adam. I'm pretty well of the belief that Adam was not the first white man. He was the first white man with a soul around 7,000 years ago or so. But anyway, Buddhism was an offshoot of Hinduism, but which was in turn a change between these white invaders and these Dravidians, and pretty well the religion changed as the population changed. But in any case, I think I've kept you for quite some time. This was a fascinating call, and pretty well what I will do is I'll go ahead and I guess I'm going to work on it. I mean, you are a major, major, major celebrity here, and I don't know why exactly. Yes, as far as Hal Turner's concerned, he entered a halfway house about a week or so ago. He's one hell of a showman, but he's one hell of a lie. I mean, I go ahead and listen to Hal Turner's shows, and you will have people who essentially are not white, like this Brian Rio character, Yeah, what happened? I found out what his real name was and who he really was, and he's a homosexual. I'm not for sure about that.
Oh my!
He's not only a homosexual. He's not white at all here. And
oh dear.
In any case, he plays net Nazi. He goes ahead. He runs around with these other characters. He still around, but he went ahead and he would play the little game of Linstead's running a racist webpage. He took down about, what, 9 or so of my particular webpages and forums.
Oh, my.
He took down these Nimbuster retards, forum. He took
right.
down a sort of a homosexual forum, which he got ahead and started. I mean, this little monster went ahead and just screwed, pretty well just screwed the pooch, and he tries to play both sides here. But in any case, I'll try to go ahead and get it up. Do you have a web page to where there's an email I can go ahead and, send a follow-up to?
Well, I tell you what, Pastor Lindstedt, how about, I don't really like to publicly give out my email, my private email.
No.
But
okay.
I'll tell you this. I will go ahead. What I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll send you an email to your Gmail address that you've been so kind to send to me. And then, just let me know. Keep me in the loop. Because I'll promise you this. If Hal Turner shows his face on the Internet and comes on with his show, I promise you that I'm going to call him in and I'm going to confront him right on his show. That much.
Well, he would love it, though. I mean, you understand, Hal Turner has no morals. He has no scruples. He's one hell of a showman, though. I got to grant you that. He's one hell of a showman. You don't have any morals or scruples?
I guess we're going to find out what kind of a showman he is if he ever decides to rear his ugly head at the Internet again.
Well, I don't know. I've heard that he's essentially, for my guess, he's not supposed to be on the Internet.
Is that right? Oh.
Well, he doesn't obey. He's not much of a law obeyer, though. That's what I think.
Oh, is that right?
But in any case, you can see it, PASTORLINDSTEDT. And I'm gonna go ahead and let you off. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go about your business, of course. It has been one heck of an interesting conversation here. This is probably going to be better than the time I had. This one maniac screaming at me here sometimes this show has gone ahead and become Jerry Springer Radio times. In any case, I'm going to let you go, and, goodbye or hail victory then, okay?
Well, you take care, Pastor Lindstedt. See you later.
All righty. Hail victory. Well, that was one heck of a show, wasn't it? Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take about 2 or 3 minute break. Hail victory.
Hello, I'm George Takei, and over the years I've spoken out on civil rights issues from the Japanese-American internment to Proposition 8 in California. The recent suicides of LGBT youths across the country from anti-gay bullying compels me to speak out again, in particular against Clint McCants, a school board member in Arkansas who publicly encouraged gay kids to kill themselves. Mr. McCants has since resigned and claims he regrets saying things like, "I enjoy the fact that they often give each other AIDS and die." Mr. McCants, you are a douchebag. That's right, a douchebag. No person, let alone an elected school official, whatever their personal or religious beliefs, should ever wish death upon another human being. You apologize for your poor choice in words, but you are always going to be a total douchebag. I can only suspect that you have some, shall I say,
issues to work out. So I've gone and bought this countdown clock. I predict that sometime soon, you will find yourself in the headlines again. This time, caught with a rent boy from some South American country. And when that happens, I sincerely hope you do not kill yourself, Mr. McCants, because no one should ever wish that upon someone else. And if you are a victim of gay bullying, I say this to you, it does get better, and there is help out there. Call the Trevor Project Lifeline at 866-4-U-T-R-E-V-O-R, and don't listen to the douchebags of the world.
It's acceptable to call me a nigger.
It's acceptable to call me a speck.
To call me a chink.
To call me a fag.
It's acceptable to call me a kike.
It is acceptable to call me a retard or call yourself or your friends retarded when they do something foolish.
The R word is the same as every minority slur. Treat it that way and use it.
Spread the word. Spread the word.
The nigger, spit, and gooks need to be sent back to wherever the hell they come from. And them faggots and retards, why, we should be just grateful to live in a home or a shelter among our own kind so we don't spread it to normal people.
So spread the word to spread the word. This is a public service announcement by the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Area Nations of Missouri. Hail victory. Okay, I'm not sure if Andy is still on or not here. Looks like Jermaine and Jim was on there. I looked at the chat, and it seems like Andreas or Andy is pretty sure this was a pretty good George Takei impression. You know, George Takei impersonation. It said something about how he was in a camp or something like that here. Okay, an internment camp. So, Andy, do you think this was an impressionist then or something? Because I sort of find it sort of far fetched in George Takei actually. Okay. Well, if it was fake, it was hilarious. I think it sort of blows Russ out of the walker. Out of the water. Okay. if it is a fake here, what happens is that probably George Takei ought to sign them up here. You know what I mean? In any case. And I don't know. It did go ahead and fill an hour of the show. Okay? Well, if it's William Shatner pulled a prank, that'd be as big a news too here, you know what I mean? So, let me see here. at least I have something there. George Takei of Star Trek showed up. And he wanted to give Hal Turner a piece of his mind here. The thing about Hal Turner, though, is that, well, from what I gather, let me go ahead and click on this link about Hal Turner being in a halfway house. And when was this here? It was June 11th here. So it was, 10 days ago here? If it was William Shatner pulling a joke here, well, I guess William Shatner has something to go ahead and write about.
you know, about his lover named Brad. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and look at this here. Harold C. Hal Turner, the internet shock jock, former FBI informant, convicted of three federal judges, was released from Indiana prison on Monday, facing sentence at a halfway house in New Jersey. And he was held in Terre Haute under strict conditions. Communications Management Unit. Okay. He's scheduled to be formally freed on October 6th here. Alrighty. 2010. So, let's see here. Alrighty. Well, Hal did deserve whatever the hell Hal got, though. But in any case here, let's see. I guess Frankenwigger. I don't know. You think this is a Frankenwigger joke? It might be a Frankenwigger joke. it might be Frankenwigger pulling a prank. Was Frankenwigger on, you know, when George Takei was on? Well, who knows? Who knows? Well, in any case, this guy was pretty, if it wasn't George Takei, this guy was pretty good, though. I mean, it's not like I didn't. Oh, what was Frank Wigg was on when George Takei was on? If he was, Frank Wigg is one hell of a joker. He is one hell of a joker. In any case, here, I don't know. I just don't know. I'll go ahead and download it tonight and boost it using the WavePad and all this good stuff here. I was listening to Hill Covington's show. I didn't listen to all of it. I was up pretty well fighting with the Mamzer Barrel mutants, and I probably shouldn't have wasted any time on them. I really probably shouldn't have. Last couple days, my heck, I had something bite me on the neck, and pretty well it was sort of red and, you know, sort of inflamed here, but now I'm feeling pretty good. So I've been staying home. Today was a wonderful day. It rained. Went ahead and filled up most of the stock tank. Went ahead and watered my garden. Pretty well brought in some cool weather. It was real good. Okay? So, you know, in any case, I guess it wasn't Frankenwigger at all. I was listening to Andreas talk about dispensationalism, about how there's various dispensations here. And I don't believe in that. And part of the reason is it says that, you know, Yahweh is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and today. And while there have been some changes in the covenants here, I don't believe that when it really matters as far as, well, really everything, Yahweh has changed it. Like I was talking to George Takei or whoever that was, everyone is figuring out that this country, the state, whatever, is falling apart. It's not in very good shape at all. It's in a state of decline. And you don't have to be Christian Identity to know that things are not looking very good. I was supposed to hear Covington to say to where, hey, the niggers are just running wild in California. They don't have to be held to any account. They get to do whatever the heck they want. It's their country now. It's not ours. We're just pale-skinned blobs here whose only job is to be wage and tax slaves. That's all. Okay. Okay. I have to go ahead and admit that you get
you go ahead and you read the covenant with Israel on Mount Sinai, and pretty well the Levitical priesthood of the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, did not believe in life after death. They believed that if you obeyed the covenant, you obeyed the laws of Moses, you would have good government, a long life, that Yahweh would go ahead and save his people. Now, as time went on, you had some Jews call in, you had corrupt Uyghurs pretty well just living off the people. And in many cases, must appear that Yahweh wasn't keeping his part of the deal, when actually it was the people who were, by allowing that stuff, which allowed things to go badly. Now, in the New Covenant, as Christians, since Yahweh, or Jesus Christ, died for our sins to be our Savior to those he chooses, we have the ability to get and to earn eternal life. Okay? Okay. Well, folks, yeah, I mean, people like Schofield. He was a lying rascal who was hired by Jews to go ahead and write about Jews are God's chosen people. And when he came up with the Schofield Reference Bible in 1909, it was part of, well, essentially Zionism. It was a means to go ahead and get Protestant dumbasses to go ahead and agree with Theodore Herzl's Zionist belief to where, hey, they need to be given their own little country because they are the Jews, they're God's chosen people, and we need to go ahead and serve God's chosen people by giving them back their homeland, even though, well, like Arthur Koestler said, they really weren't indigenous to Palestine, ever. Okay? Okay. Well, yes, Andrews, I do agree that Moses, in some cases, got Yahweh to change his mind. Yahweh, I believe, can and does process information. And in some cases, I think it's not that he changes, but that he understands that we change, and therefore Yahweh can go ahead and change what needs to be done. Now, I'm not trying to go ahead and personalize, I guess, Yahweh, although I don't know how one couldn't when you're talking about such things in our own limited perspective. But, okay, well, in any case here, I've been doing some thinking about what I need to go ahead and do and what I need to go ahead and write. And I guess old George Takei, he did encourage me to go ahead and do some more writing. And hopefully he encouraged me to go ahead and do less messing around with bowel movement tards, with bowel movement rejects, with bowel movement nitwits. Okay? So, well, yeah, I don't worry about so much as that how can you go ahead and talk about the spiritual without going through a physical thought process? And the answer is you're not. You know, it's not that Yahweh is impossible to be understood. It's just that in many cases, we don't have the ability to go ahead and understand Yahweh fully. But on the other hand, don't we have an obligation to go ahead and do so, rather than just simply mindlessly do whatever our appetites tell us to do? In any case, I don't know how long I've been talking here. I'm sort of getting talked out here. What I was trying to say about, say, Brian Rio, you end up having these characters who come in and they pretend to be something that they're not. They pretend to be Israelites, they pretend to be
Christians. They pretend to be heterosexual. And when you catch them, they get mad. But in many cases, they're not, you know, they understand. In some cases, I think Brian Real, I think Eli James, I think Stephen Brower knew somewhere that the imposture could not go ahead and last forever. And when it didn't, yes, they get annoyed because they've been outed. Yes, they've been found out. They've been pretty well named. And there's nothing that they can do about it. Nothing that can change about that. And what is necessary is to keep an overall picture of things. And what you understand is that there is no saving Zog Babylon. Now, what I said about Harold Covington, I didn't want to go ahead in case that was George Takei. I want to give Harold Covington a plug. Really did. And I want to go ahead and do give him a plug. I mean, I'm sort of struck here by this guy who did imitate George Takei. He was pretty good. I mean, I think it might even be George Takei. It might be. I don't know. Stranger Things, this is not the strangest thing that has ever happened to me. I've had some stranger things occur to me, well, during my nut house day, and in real life. It might have actually been George Takei. I'm not going to go ahead and swear on the Bible, but it was entertaining. But, I got to wonder, when did Hal Turner go ahead and mention George Takei, you know, in particular? As far as Brian Real is concerned, I pretty well called him a homosexual, or I believe that he's a homosexual, and I imagine Mr. George Takei here, if it was him. I said, what do you have against homosexuals? Well, they have a number of religious beliefs. Now, Buddhists don't. Why should Buddhists have a problem with homosexuality? They live in countries which are crowded. Well, I probably should have asked George Takei, what does he think that Japan should do? Should it go ahead and do as it's doing now? Pull in from developing nuclear power. So you go ahead and say, no more. We can't afford it. Oh, okay. Alright. I couldn't either here, but I guess it's going to be something about, you know, Turner and Takei. I mean, realistically, it probably, you know, it more it didn't happen. Okay? Hell, I don't see why George Takei would say, he never did really explain to me how Hal Turner led to me. In some cases, I'm the anti-Hal. Maybe I should have mentioned Hattie so old Hattie Meerkat would go ahead and say something about here. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute, you know, number 65. Number 65, you're a Nimbuster. Go ahead and tell the Nimtars that George Takei called. By the way, somebody go ahead and go over to Nimbusters and see what the heck is going on. Oh well. In any case, where was I? Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't real George Takei, although he lives in Southern California, the previous March, we went ahead and looked at the nuclear
tidal wave, which went ahead and took out so many nuclear power plants, and how Japan shouldn't have been relying upon nuclear power plants, which were well past their, date of commission 40 years ago, set up in 1971. And folks, from what I gather, the Japanese have gone ahead and shut down their plants. And what they're doing is they're importing liquefied natural gas from Russia. They're importing, not so much coal, but liquefied natural gas to generate electricity to take the place of, nuclear reactors. So what is Japan going to do about that? You have all across the world, you have all these banks, and essentially their currency is not worth very much. It's going to go ahead and implode, and then they're going to have to go back to their old currencies, if they're able to. I don't see any of them with the ability of, say, a Hitler, to go ahead and put the people back to work. Because, folks, when you end up having unemployment, like Harold Covington said, through a hiccuping of the capitalist, real capitalist, not the Jew-run system. And because we have a Jew-run system, we end up having these collapses last while Jews tried to go ahead and destroy the currency, and then go ahead and buy for pennies on the dollar white farms and white businesses. No, it ought to be that if white people want to have a job, they're able to. Not a wonderful job, not a great job, but a job doing that which needs to be done, be it rebuilding roads, be it rebuilding, roads, rebuilding infrastructure, under, say, the supervision of a supervisor who knows how to build roads, who knows how to go ahead and farm. But what you see is that you see essentially not only a poverty caused by Jews sucking things out, you see a poverty of imagination, you see a poverty of will, you see a poverty of character. All across the world, you see things falling apart. And that is as it's going to be. So, what to do? Folks, what I urge those who listen is don't worry about how Zog is falling apart. Worry about how to save yourself. Worry about how to get close to Yahweh. Worry about how to, essentially, do well for yourself, to save your own life. Because that's really all you're able to do. I don't see, I do agree with Covington that Zog is falling apart, that things are going ahead and going badly. But I don't see anybody stepping up to the plate to fix things, to go ahead and get things done right. So, in any case here, I think I'm going ahead and working on, how to go ahead and end the show. By the way, if it was a hoax, it was one hell of a good hoax, though. You got to go ahead and laugh. You do got to go ahead and laugh, at what a good hoax it was. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Thank you.
White and clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots, to stamp out gospel. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love is great, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.